It's not complicated. Call it creative. Call it art. Call it design. It's the Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
Okay, you know what? What is this, Mel? What is happening here?
Your microphone that just doesn't want to cooperate.
No, it's like it's a short joke. It's like a cruel short joke. Good morning, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm trying to get used to this red microphone, and it's not...
Do you want a different color? Because we have blue and pink and black and yellow. I can switch it out at the break for you.
No, it's fine. I'll just work with the red nose.
Well,
microphone.
We are going into that season.
Yeah, I know. Listen, I have to ask you a question.
Yeah, sure.
And believe it or not, everyone, we are actually going to talk about design. I was listening to past shows. I'm like, wow, I don't think I've really talked about design in quite a while. We should probably back to that, since it is the Design Coach.
Okay.
Radio show.
But you do throw some elements of design in with your cocktail.
Well, at least I hope so.
With your trades.
At least I hope so.
You do.
Well, as I have said in the past, and as I will repeat right now, this is a show about more than just designing your home. It's about designing your life. It's about designing your relationships. It's about... a thoughtful approach. You heard me talk last week about this more sort of marathon approach. You know, if anything, you know, this COVID environment has taught us that we are in for things for the long haul.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
election results included.
Oh, goodness.
There's a lot to unpack, which we won't.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to bring up something that's bothering me.
What?
You heard me talk before we came on the air about this thing that I'm recognizing in a certain age group.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if you've seen the same thing, where I have, I'm going to call it 25 to 29, roughly,
ooh,
respectively.
Ooh.
Okay. Where you're trying to give direction and you're trying to say something, and all they do is say the word okay repeatedly. Not, I understand, I got it. Okay, you know,
it's just okay.
Like,
that's the answer they're giving you.
What do you mean, okay? Like, okay, you get it. Okay, you don't get it. Okay, I'm speaking a completely different language. Okay, people, is not an answer. Okay,
where does this leave you then?
It
leaves you hanging.
No, here's where it leaves me. It leaves me having to decipher the intonation of the okay. Like, if I say, you know, please do this, 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 and they go, okay, okay, okay. Like, that to me says they understand it. They just want me to stop describing it. They understand what needs to be done.
Yes.
But if they're like, okay, 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 it's like a monotone droning. It's like something that these people would like do to their parents to just get them off their back. Just like say okay while their parents were giving them some direction, and then they would go off and do whatever the heck they wanted to. Like, listen, newsflash on today's radio show. Okay. It has to be animated in some way for it to be effective. Or else all you're doing is just looking at me blankly going, okay, okay, okay. That doesn't tell me whether or not you understand what I'm saying. Okay. And I pride myself on being a pretty decent communicator. Okay. Which tells me that if you just have the droning, okay, 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 that you don't really understand what I'm saying. And then I have to follow it up with, because if I get like three droned okays in a row, I have to say something like, are you grasping what I'm saying? Like,
are you alive?
But then you feel like a jerk. You're like, repeat it back to me.
Like, well,
do you know what I mean?
I can understand that.
Then you feel like a third grade teacher.
You shouldn't have to be a third grade teacher.
I'm dealing with what I think are quasi adults. Maybe not.
I don't think so.
Anyway,
does the work
for the
get
record,
done?
For the record, on this show, unless you're okay, like if you said to me, and if I gave direction and then you said, okay, then I would be like, oh, okay, I have to,
further explanation needed. Right?
Okay, see what you're doing? You're reading the okay.
Yes.
Okay? Or if I said, okay, 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 right?
That
you'd
is
like,
just
stop
like,
talking
okay,
to me, I got it.
Like,
we're moving
go.
On. Or... if you say, or if it's okay, yeah, like,
enthusiastic,
okay, like an excited
let's do it.
Okay, but this, okay, okay,
okay,
okay, is not an answer, people. We got to use our big words. We got to use our big words, get descriptive and communicate.
I'm going to say now that kind of okay, just okay. That kind of okay means that they're disinterested. Number two, they don't want to be there. And number three,
they don't like what I'm saying.
They don't like what you're saying.
That could be too.
It may or may not get done.
That is okay. And you know what? My outcome on that side is absolutely. That's why, listen, I have to tell you, you've heard me say right now that I'm so pleased with my team, the dynamic of my team, but partly because I feel like I'm dealing with adults, which is always nice.
This is a plus.
Which is always nice. Mm-hmm. Okay. To feel like you're gelling with the people that are around you. And do I sound like the crotchety old man? Who's like,
no,
like I'm complaining about today's youth. How I sound? Because I have to let people know as a public service announcement, as somebody who does communication weekly and on a daily basis with my clients, I got to tell you, that ain't an answer. Okay. Not an answer.
No, it's not.
Not okay.
It's not
actually,
okay.
Okay. Not okay.
Not okay. What do you do?
I don't know. Here's the thing. If I see my nephews who are kind of in that age group, I'm going to have this discussion with them and find out what that's all about.
Is it just...
This is completely and totally anecdotal. This is not... But I don't think I'm alone in this. I have to be honest with you. This is totally anecdotal. I don't have any... I've not taken any surveys. Okay? There's no professional polling behind any of this. Not that would matter, because those are wrong too.
I was going to
say. Not that professional polling
absolutely
matters at all these days.
It's
weird
you mentioned polling.
But that being said, I've not... I mean, this is just anecdotal. This is my experience. What is that all about? Is it that... Have they just been like nagged to death?
No.
By helicopter parents, that they just say that to get people away from them. Like, I don't know I don't know what's going on
there. Hold on, I have a question.
But there's something happening.
Is it more male or is it more female or both?
Yeah,
or
it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Does not matter.
Doesn't.
Also, doesn't matter whether it's level of education.
Really?
Yeah, advanced degree, didn't matter, four-year degree, tradesman, no degree, trade school only, that doesn't matter. That's why I'm thinking it has to be generational.
It has to be. Now that you've even explained it further and delved deeper into the subject, it is generational.
Speaking of things on today's show that are not okay.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to explain a couple of things because I just feel like I have a cornucopia. I have a fall cornucopia. You know this. Every fall around Thanksgiving, I have the cornucopia show.
Yes, you do.
It's like, and I don't even own a cornucopia. I don't ever really, I mean, I like the thought of a cornucopia, but I don't really make a cornucopia at my house.
Do people really eat out of the cornucopias?
No, they don't eat out of the cornucopias. In fact, I've only really seen effective cornucopias on napkins. Like you'll see a napkin that has a cornucopia, but I don't know many people who go about the practice of cornucopying in. Is that a thing?
I've seen artificial.
But that's got the plastic rubber stuff coming out of it.
Right.
Right. That's not real.
I do not have one.
I need to find somebody who does a professional real cornucopia.
I know. Who does a cornucopia?
Anyway, I normally have a fall cornucopia show. That's this show. So it's a little bit of everything today.
Uh-huh.
It's a little bit of everything. And on today's show, I've got a few topics that are actually, they're very current for at least my current project schedule, because we're working with a lot of clients right now, quite a few actually, that are going to be embarking on new construction. Some of them are coming at it from different stages of their lives. Some of them are, selling their home in the suburbs and moving to a different area, and then they're building a home and they're trying to sort of right size.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not trying to build. They're not trying to maximize square footage from square footage sake. They're looking to maximize it from a functional and beautification perspective, which is right up our alley. And they're coming to it in later in life. Some are in the midst of their kids being younger and are just sort of planning for the future. So I've got a lot of clients who are going down this exciting journey. And it doesn't really matter what stage in life you're in. The design plan and the design strategy that we've put together still holds true. And I want to talk a little bit about that, because I feel like there's some knowledge to share there, obviously, on today's show. And then as a part of our Thanksgiving cornucopia, I've got, did you see the thing about the most popular Thanksgiving side dishes by state?
I did.
Did you see that?
I'm so excited about
this.
Did
you see that?
Uh-huh.
Some of these absolutely baffled me. And then did you see the list of side dishes for the holidays that everyone secretly hates but pretends to like?
No, I didn't see that list.
That is a fantastic list. So I've got that along with some design mashed up in my Thanksgiving holiday cornucopia. So stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1.
Welcome back to The Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
That's an interesting thought, Mel.
What's that?
We're going to have to share that.
Oh.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. And this is the Thanksgiving Design and Entertaining Cornucopia Show.
That it is.
Mm-hmm. And if you say okay to me, okay, in that okay.
Are you talking to me?
No, I'm just saying in general.
Oh, in general.
You know, you heard me talking the last segment about this younger generation, and when they only answer you with the word okay in a monotone response, it means they don't really understand what you're talking about.
Yes.
And that you actually need further clarification.
Right.
So, anyway.
I'm going to avoid saying okay because I'm very scared.
Well, listen, on today's show, as I mentioned in the last segment, I have a question for you.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. You know, you hear me on a regular basis, and we've been doing the show together for a while now.
I know.
You have heard me talk about various ways where we devise strategies to help people build more functional and really, really beautiful spaces, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we talk about with these strategies is to try to look at big canvases first. In other words, you know, the stage setting is in the beginning really important versus getting really granular with things like furniture, color, and feel,
mm-hmm.
right? That the big canvases need to be addressed first.
Right. Yes.
And there's a lot of life lessons there. You know, it's almost like, you know, it's that saying first things first, right? Like, you know, if you don't have your health, what good, you know, it doesn't matter what clothes you're wearing. Do you follow me? Like you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, in other words, if the big things aren't in place, then the small things don't really matter if the big things aren't handled. And, you know, design isn't any different. And you heard me say in the last segment that we're super fortunate. We're working with a number of clients who are going to be going down a really amazing and fun journey, or we're going to try to make it fun because it can be, like I said, it can be a marathon of doing these new construction homes. And the philosophy that I wanted to share with everyone today is, you know, when you're thinking about taking a project, no matter the size or scope, but especially in new construction, it really helps to think about the big canvases first, floors and ceilings. And we are seeing some really amazing products from floors to walls to ceilings, where that entire package, whether it's the millwork to the floor to what you're doing on the ceiling, those things really matter, especially when you layer decoration on top of great design. And I wanted to mention this morning that as you head into the holiday season, and remember, we're about to head into the Thanksgiving / Christmas, or in your world, Thanksmas, time of year. And
I heard that.
And is the Thanksmas tree up?
Yes, it is.
It is. And can you take a picture for everyone?
So I will.
Okay.
I'd
like
to
see it this year. Is it 7 feet, like you said?
It is.
The 7 foot Thanksmas tree?
Yes.
Okay. And did you do the ornaments with the turkey plates?
I save them every year.
Oh, you save them. Oh, yep. So you don't have to do them every year.
No. I just want them.
You saved the glitzy, glammy.
I did, yes.
Plates that have a turkey picture that
every single
look like
year.
Ornaments with fringe around them.
Yes, it was a craft day.
And you made, how many did you make, like 50?
Probably not 50 because they're fairly large. So I want to say probably 15.
Good for you.
Yeah,
good for you. Well, anyway, as I was saying, as we head into this holiday season where everyone's decoration gets thrown up in the air because you're decorating for the holiday.
Uh-huh.
Right. So what's great about the holidays is that you can throw the rules out. You've heard me say this before. Every holiday season, you can completely throw the decorating rule books out the window when you're talking about decorating for the holidays, especially as it relates to Christmas. Because in my world, there is no such thing as more is less, or less is more. It's the holiday season is more about more is more. So the more festive you are, I'm a fan of all of it. even how, like, the weird collections of, like, old Santas or, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, any vintage collection that you think is interesting, I'm for all of it this holiday season. The downside is that it helps us mask when we eventually we'll just call it de-Christmas or de-holiday.
Mm-hmm.
All of that emptiness will come back into our lives.
I know.
Come, right?
Yes.
The end of December, beginning of January.
Yeah.
Okay. So this might be something to start to think about now, because we're all going to be going into the Christmas decorating season.
Mm-hmm.
We're all going to have fun doing it, hopefully.
I feel like it's getting earlier. Like,
it's getting earlier. Listen, yes. It's like the stores have been ready to go. Like, the minute Halloween closed up shop, they were putting up everything that you needed.
Magic overnight.
So the one of the design tips that I want to give everyone today is I want you to think about, as you sort of head into the new year, maybe tackling some of the larger canvases that maybe have been holding your overall design plan back. And that means three major canvases. One is really take a good hard look at your floors. Make a determination whether they need to be refinished or replaced or just renewed in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Take a look at your ceilings. Is there an opportunity in your ceiling to do something different and to add architectural millwork, which can be very reasonable? It can be very reasonable to do that. Just the right well-placed crown or molding can have a big impact in making a space feel more finished. And then adding additional millwork to the periphery of the space. I want you to start, guys, and this is the reason that I'm mentioning this, is because this is how we embark on some of these larger projects. We try to take a view of larger projects of outside in. Not bringing outside in, but start on the outside with the big canvases, the ceilings, the walls, and the flooring. And think about materials application and the way that those particular spaces or those particular planes of a room actually dictate what really works from a decorative perspective. Because a lot of times it doesn't matter how great the decoration is that if the floors and the walls and the ceilings aren't correct or aren't working, if the big canvases aren't working, it doesn't matter
mm-hmm.
the amount of decoration you layer on top of it. It just really doesn't. And sometimes, and you've heard me say this, sometimes your dream home might be a little bit of a stretch, but there you can always create a dream room. And maybe your dream home is a series of rooms that you sort of reinvent and rethink. And your dream home might be actually closer than you think, especially if you start thinking big canvases first. So that I wanted to get that design offering out.
I really like that you said, you know, if you're maybe not living in your dream home right now or, you know, but start with a dream room.
Yeah.
I think that is a great suggestion.
Not everybody can
suggestion.
Maybe live in their dream home.
Yeah.
I mean, because I think that definition is maybe a little bit different for everyone. Maybe it's live in the part of the country that you really maybe
right.
want to.
Yeah.
But you can have a dream room
mm-hmm.
or you can have a series of dream rooms.
Mm-hmm.
You can have great rooms, even though you don't have a great house. And it's interesting what happens when you start to reinvent one room at a time. And we see this
yes.
with the makeovers that we do with the remodeling. People start to feel differently about what their house was what they thought their house was capable of being
mm-hmm.
or doing with just the right application of great design and great decoration. And so I think this concept of the dream home, right? Or a dream home, maybe we just focus on building dream rooms.
I love this.
And we start one room at a time. And listen, everybody, you can start small. You don't have to start large. You don't have to pick mm-hmm. the biggest room in the house. You know, sometimes the best way to sort of start with the genesis of the spark or the inspiration of your overall makeover of your home might just start with one room. You know, I know for me recently, you know, we've done several different makeovers and we've done this in several different homes. But, you know, one of the projects that I loved doing was our powder room. I did that English looking, I almost call it like, my kids are big Harry Potter fans.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it with an English inspired pub Harry Potter overtone. It was one of the smaller, probably the smallest room in our house. But I loved doing that project. And it gave the entire family a look at kind of what was possible
right,
for the
right.
rest of the space.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how it made me feel, and I know how it made them feel. It not only became more functional, but it was also a really cool, inspiring space.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of want that for everyone. And as we start to look inward, especially with this, God knows how long we're going to be How long we're going to be, we got the great news about the vaccine this week. Mm-hmm. That was fantastic. But you don't know. You don't know what your situation is going to be. But what we do know is that our homes are going to be asked, I think, continuing into 2021, they're going to be asked to be more and to do more. And in that regard, I wanted to mention that tip. Think outside in. And then you can worry about the decorating, because that can happen over a longer period of time. But sometimes the best makeovers are above your head, under your feet, and right in front of your face. So that's walls, ceilings, and floor. All right, listen, when we come back from the break, I want to dig into this Thanksgiving cornucopia thoughts.
I can't wait.
I've got these side dishes that secretly everyone hates from Delish.com. Huh. I don't know that I agree with the list. I would love your take.
Okay.
And then I've got the most popular side dishes by state.
Oh, this is perfect.
And I saw this and I was kind of like, I wanted to mention this to everyone and be like, It seems like some states have some very interesting things in common, and some just completely weirded me out. So anyway, stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1.
Welcome back to The Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
I think I might have to do the Cornucopia Show like 2.0.
Why is that?
Well, because there's so much to cover.
Is there?
Okay, now listen, you're right. Last week, by the way, I did cover from Delish.com, I did cover those great cocktails.
Oh, that was so good.
And for those of you who don't know what I'm referencing, you got to go to Delish.com and there's like 35 different creative cocktails for the holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Like that apple cider mimosa just seems like a no-brainer as a Thanksgiving morning kickoff.
It does. Yeah.
You know, because you got to start the Thanksgiving meal a little earlier.
You do.
I mean, even if you're making it for yourselves or a small crowd, mm-hmm. right? Because a lot of people aren't entertaining this year.
Right.
They're just entertaining small groups.
Mm-hmm.
You still have to start earlier.
Yes,
well, you might as well start earlier with a cocktail.
Might as well start the day before.
You could do that too. You could do that too.
No, it's
so
not.
That seemed like a no-brainer. And then, of course, you had the pumpkin pie martini.
I love that. Yeah.
As you're packing everything mm-hmm. up and hopefully watching someone else do the dishes.
Yes.
See, we have that arrangement at our house.
Whoever is not cooking.
Well, listen, I settled into my role very early. And by the way,
like
you're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. We settled in early on that.
How early?
I mean,
right away, right after you were married?
Listen, you've heard me say this, that I'm so blessed that Julie loves to cook.
Mm-hmm.
Like, loves to cook.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you reap those benefits.
Oh, completely. Uh-huh. But then I also know that I'm responsible on the back end to actually not like stuff my gullet.
Yeah.
And then go waddle my way over to a sofa. And this goes for all the holidays, right? This goes for all of it.
Mm-hmm.
That I end up really doing my due diligence as it relates to like, okay, I dive in on, okay, the dirty plates and that kind of stuff. And I do remember a few holidays where it didn't exactly work out that way, and Julie might have pulled double duty a couple times.
Uh-huh.
But I, as a general rule, I am very conscious of that. As I think, I mean, do you have an agreement like that with Larry?
Yeah, we do. If he cooks and I'm usually cleaning up, or I mean, he pitches in as well. But
I mean, you're a tandem. I mean, you're a
team.
Yeah,
absolutely, we are. But if he does, and actually on the weeknights, and that's beside holidays, but generally mm-hmm. on the weeknights, he cooks dinner, and so I usually clean up.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's nice.
All right. So do you have a Thanksgiving side dish that you secretly hate?
That I secretly hate? Yes.
You do.
Yes.
And what would that be?
I am not a fan of yams or sweet potatoes. Like, I don't really know what the difference is between the two.
Okay.
But I do not like those. And I don't understand the whole marshmallow thing.
Okay, sweet potatoes I actually like.
But do you like the casserole? Like the
hot
dish?
Okay, so if you can envision sweet potatoes with, and I think it's some sort of topper. Like, let's just say the topper is something marshmallowy.
Yeah.
Or crumbled like brown sugar. You got something going there.
I know.
But it's dessert-like.
Is it?
It has a starchy, desserty overtone. Desserty.
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 That's not even a word.
But so,
anyway, it does have that. And we have that for the holidays, and it's fantastic. Now, I'm not a sweet potato pie guy.
Yeah.
But
what's
hot
with
sweet potatoes,
potato?
Like crumbled with, you know, whatever crumbling and sugar, brown sugar. You got me.
So whatever brown sugar is on, you're in. Like, is that's what I'm hearing.
As a general rule, yes. If there's brown sugar on it or in it, I would have to say yes.
Huh.
But so you're not a fan of like the
no.
See,
they're so
I'm
orange,
and I'm not a cranberry sauce guy.
I'm not either.
You are?
I'm not either. I
and
don't
then
like
there's
the
whole dilemma, like out of the can sliced, which mm-hmm. just seems completely unnatural to me.
But it's so cool.
It's cool?
It is. It's. I guess
okay,
it's tradition
okay, it's
for
cool
some people.
In an eighth grade science experiment kind of way. Like
we have both.
Like
we
I'm just
both.
Saying like that sound it makes when it comes out of the can, that slurpy sound when
oh,
it comes
yeah.
out. And then you, oh yeah. Like it's apparently it's comforting to you, that sound. To me, it makes me like, it gives
ew.
You the, gives me the heebies. Yeah.
Ugh.
But like when you slice that up and then people like spread it on the turkey.
Yeah.
Have you seen that? What do you mean? Yeah.
Because I grew up with that. We grew up with that, but also.
But then there's the natural cranberries.
Yes.
Like
yeah.
that people, it's a sauce. Obviously
that you
it's
just,
sauce and
yes.
you drizzle on top and
yeah.
it, you know, it adds a little sweetness to it.
Right.
I guess I'm not, that doesn't, I'm not a cran, I don't go out of my way to like grab for the cranberry sauce the same way that I do like syrup for a pancake. I don't.
Yeah, no.
Right?
Don't, right.
I
yes.
Don't, I don't
no,
quite do
I
that.
Don't even need those that on the table.
But according to Delish.com, there's 13 Thanksgiving foods everyone secretly hates. And I was a little surprised by what they listed. I kind of wanted your take on a few of these because I you know, listen, everybody know, and I don't know anyone who likes fruitcake for the holiday.
Oh, no.
I don't even
That's
know.
Just...
I don't know. I don't know. Listen, I could go back to the origins of fruitcake and we could do a show on that and I could burn 3 minutes on that. We're not going to do that. I'm just going to tell you, I'm not quite sure like why fruitcake is even still a thing.
Why?
And there must be people who still really like it. I am not in that team photo. Mm-hmm. Are you?
No, you'll
but,
never find me
but
there.
Some of these Thanksgiving foods just seemed to me to be like, oh, like the first one that they list was very
Can
curious.
I ask a question
yeah, sure.
though? How many, it's a list of 13?
Yeah, 13.
Who has 13 side dishes?
I don't know, we're going to have to ask Hannah Doolin. Hannah Doolin.
Like you have a basic five or seven.
Well, but here's the thing, there's 13.
Okay, let's hear them.
First one was soup.
What?
Here's what Delish.com says. We're all about munching on snacks and finger foods before dinner. But a bowl of hot soup is just a distraction from the main event and can put you in danger of filling up before it's time for your favorite courses. I mean, how much soup are you consuming?
Have you ever had Thanksgiving soup?
I haven't.
What is it? Is it pigeon?
Is this a thing? No.
I mean, not pigeon. You know what I mean?
It doesn't even name a specific soup.
Which is it?
Okay, but can I give you an example of a soup that I've had during the fall that I love? So I don't know that. Do people hate soup? Maybe it's thing.
No,
maybe it's specifically related.
We love soup around here.
Like, okay, like a butternut squash soup is awesome. I've had that. Julie makes a yellow pepper soup that is like all these peppers, like, cut up, right? But it has the consistency of like a cream base, mm-hmm. but there's no cream in it. Mm-hmm. And it's fantastic. And for the fall, it's awesome. You're like, she's perfecting this chicken noodle soup. Now, I don't know specifically if you serve soup at the Thanksgiving dinner, but I can't tell you that it would be something I would, well, secretly hate.
I don't think I
would
secretly hate it.
I mean, how can you hate it that time of year?
Right.
I don't know. So that just seemed to be.
I don't know anybody that eats that serves soup.
With
for
I've never
dinner.
Had soup at a Thanksgiving
never,
meal.
Never, never. Like on Christmas Eve, absolutely. But
not there.
Not
though.
Thanksgiving.
Okay, this is what. Okay. Okay, raw veggies and heavy dips are the cold equivalent of a Thanksgiving soup appetizer. Time out. Like cut up carrots in a dip.
Yes.
Cut up celery.
Mm-hmm.
Peppers,
maybe broccoli.
Like that, doesn't everybody put that out?
You have to,
or something like
who's
that.
Who's not?
Like some, I mean, some people get pretty ornate, and
yeah, you can make
with
the turkey.
With their appetizer.
You
but like, you know, as a fallback, if I'm having just like my brothers and my family over, you throw out like a plate of really great crisp vegetables.
Yes,
with a dip.
Yeah. Everybody wants that before you actually sit down for the dinner.
Even if not, it's an icebreaker. Like, don't you like, hey, how are you? Crunch.
Yes.
You crunch on your, you know, it's something. It's a finger food that you can grab that's not a chip.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
How is
it kind of expected?
Why is Delish hating on that?
I don't know.
That one seemed curious.
Are they just veggie haters?
I don't know, but cranberry sauce in the tube, in the can, sorry.
In the can?
In the tube.
In the tube.
That would be even...
Are you thinking of Pillsbury, like,
dough
or something?
That would be even more gross.
Ew.
It would be like cranberry sauce where you're like...
Ew.
Like out of the tube.
Out of the
that
tube.
That would be disgusting. Mm,
that would be so bad.
Anyway, so cranberry sauce is on the list. I can see people having a reaction one way or the other.
Oh,
some
yes.
people have a textural reaction.
Yeah.
To the stuff in the can.
Right.
That I have heard of. So that to me seems to be legitimate. And then they go on to hate about one of my favorite ones.
What?
So like, don't you love the hot dinner roll?
Yes.
That is like that you split open in the middle and you put like a little pat of butter in there.
Yes, I do.
And then you let it, you don't spread it because it'll mush the...
You can't mush down the bread.
You can't mush it because the it's so soft that if you do that, you'll destroy it.
Yeah, then it
turns into...
So
you just put, you cut, you open it and then you put a small pat of butter in between it and you let the heat do its thing.
Yes, just melt in there.
And then aren't you always disappointed when like someone will overcook them?
Oh,
or undercook them, because I've seen our family has occasionally overcooked some of them.
Are they homemade or are they?
Nah, I don't know that they're homemade.
Either way.
No, but either way, I look forward to the dinner roll.
I do too.
The hot,
I
fresh
do too.
Dinner roll carb.
Yes.
So
it's part of the
meal.
I think
Delish's carb hating here, because of course nobody hates dinner rolls themselves. This is what it says. Well, then why list it? Okay. But once we realize that the carby clouds have taken up precious space in our stomachs, we definitely curse their existence. Well, only if you eat eight of them.
I was just going to say, you have
you
to.
Do, that's the whole thing about Thanksgiving is pacing yourself.
You have to have a plan.
Well, and I wish the show had a plan because we don't. But as we go on with our cornucopia show for Thanksgiving, stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1.
Welcome back to The Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
Mel, you know how high I am on Delish.com. I love Delish.com, but I don't know that
do.
I agree with this list.
I'm
I don't know
this.
That people secretly hate these side dishes.
I don't know.
I don't
like what others are there.
Like, I don't know, but the cranberry sauce was the only one that made sense to me. Like, to hate on dinner rolls?
That's just a fool.
Listen, you and
that's
I both know, and by the way, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano, and this is our Thanksgiving cornucopia show. Probably one of two, okay? Because we're already on the fourth segment of the show. But anyway, we're talking about these side dishes that apparently there's 13 of them from Delish.com that people secretly love to hate. And they listed the dinner roll. And listen, here's one thing that I do know. You got to have a strategy.
You do.
On Thanksgiving. You got to have the strategy. First of all, you got to pace yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know where the alcohol, if you're going to be consuming, you've got to know when in the evening or during the day that all fits in.
Yes.
You got to, am I wrong?
You know where you're going to be.
I mean, I think people think about, okay, I'm not going to go too heavy here. I think about this, like, okay, I'm not going to over turkey it or over bread it.
Yes, yeah.
Right? So I think the only way that you hate on dinner rolls is if you're the one underneath the kitchen island popping them in your mouth nine times over.
Yeah, you can't do that.
No, clearly.
Clearly you cannot
do
this.
But you can have one dinner roll.
Right.
That complements everything
else
that's happening.
Else,
I don't
right.
know. It's the smell of that fresh bread that gets
oh,
me.
Oh, every time.
I haven't ever had these. Have you had creamed onions?
No, I have not. No.
That just doesn't sound.
Caramelized
that sounds
onions
like, but
on
that's a
hamburger.
Dish that you would just eat. Ooh. It sounds like you'd put creamed onions on something. Like as a spread. It doesn't sound like it's its own side dish.
I don't
dish.
Even know. Creamed onions?
Mmm. It says here, your
is
grandma
that,
makes them every year.
Not mine.
And you take a spoonful to be polite.
No.
But pearl onions swimming in bland cream sauce have never hit the spot. I don't know where that's a thing. So anyway.
That's weird.
This is an interesting list. If you want to just dig into it a little bit more. And by the way, Delish.com, the 35 cocktails for the holiday season. Absolutely something I recommend. But this is a fun little list to look over. This is the 13 side dishes for Thanksgiving that people secretly love to hate. So anyway, I just kind of wanted to mention that because, I don't know, it just seems to me to be like, I don't really know about that.
Yeah. I've never heard of onions, creamed onions.
No.
I've heard of like creamed carrots and peas.
Like what
is cream
like,
sauce,
like,
but
okay,
not
so
for Thanksgiving.
Sides, I'm thinking there's a Jell-O that's got graham crackers and peanuts.
And is that really
like a seven-layer
salad
or something like that? And then it's a dessert. It's more of a dessert.
It can be.
And then there's like, okay, the sweet potatoes with the awesome like layer of like crumbled
sugar.
Know,
there sugar. We go again. Sugar and butter.
Right? I mean, yes, all about that. Bring that on.
What about
if you're a fan of cranberry sauce, fine. But some of the sides in this one article, and this is the one that I was talking, this is from, this was posted by Graham Elliott.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, and this was on his Twitter feed, and it was I saw it, and I wanted to mention it to everyone. And this has been floating around social media, so you may or may not have seen this.
Yeah.
But some of these were interesting. Most popular Thanksgiving side dishes by state. By state.
I've seen Wisconsin, and I believe Illinois is the same as Wisconsin.
Well, listen, everyone knows that, like, the go-to, like, if you were playing Family Feud, number one side dish... Mashed potatoes. Everybody knows that.
I want to swim in those.
Yeah, you are starching and you are tryptophaning up on the turkey and the mashed potatoes. And that dinner roll is like a close sidecar.
Turkey, not so much for me, though.
Not a turkey fan. In fact, you know what's interesting? That Delish.com list listed turkey.
Turkey.
That people don't really like it. You don't like turkey?
I like it, but I'm not loading up on it.
I love turkey.
I'll take a little bit of it, but I'm going to go more for mashed potatoes and gravy and the stuffing.
Really?
Yeah.
Stuffing. I'm a huge stuffing fan.
Huge. Huge.
Yes.
In the bird, though, or do you...
Well, in the bird's,
dressing
in the
or
bird's great.
Stuffing? See, I agree with you.
In the bird's
There's
great.
So many people that say you shouldn't do that because of the temperature.
Oh.
Because
you're
gonna
get sick. Or just to make sure it's cooked all?
Yeah.
Well, here's what's interesting. So if you go to the East Coast, if you go to like New York and Pennsylvania...
Mm-hmm.
This was interesting. Rhode Island, Massachusetts, stuffing. Like, number one, stuffing.
Stuffing.
Stuffing heavy.
I like it. I like it. I could live in those states then.
Okay, but then you slide down to... So what is the difference between stuffing and dressing?
Stuffing is when you stuff the bird.
Okay, dressing is
outside,
a side gig.
Is the same thing.
Is outside.
Thing, but you use it as a casserole.
Because Alabama and Louisiana are cornbread dressing, and then Alabama's just dressing.
Just dressing. Okay. All right.
But interestingly enough, those are the only two areas where they were considered like the most popular by state.
Really?
Yeah. It didn't really appear anywhere else. Whereas mashed potatoes is all over the place.
That's good.
From California to Nevada to Colorado to Montana, all the way through the Midwest, meaning, you know, Minnesota and Wisconsin, all the way into Illinois. It was mashed potatoes across the board.
And then that's perfect.
Right? Florida came in with sweet potato casserole.
Oh, you could live in, well, Florida then too. Right?
And then
that's your
I'm going to call it the green bean belt.
The green bean belt.
Yeah.
Green bean.
Since
pass.
We're talking about, like, you know, the blue wall, the red wall.
This is the green bean wall.
Okay.
Okay. Where do you sit with the green bean wall or green bean casserole?
Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas.
Really? In Arizona?
Yeah.
That's weird to me.
Why? I don't know. But here's a weird aside. You know how, like, there's Hawaii and Alaska, and they're always in they're always in the lower left-hand corner.
They are,
of a map,
yes,
or the upper left-hand corner of a map.
Yeah,
you know, because you know you want to let everybody know they're on the West Coast.
Yeah,
so you can't kind of put them by Florida. So anyway, hash brown casserole.
Oh,
for Alaska.
Okay,
and for just Hawaii, this makes no sense. Turkey gravy.
That's it.
Just turkey gravy. Now, I know right now, isn't there probably some great concoction like pineapple turkey gravy?
There has to be.
Some local invented.
There has to be. Yes, I'm sure. There has to be.
Just turkey gravy? They just said, we're going to give Hawaii turkey gravy.
Yeah.
So I don't know how heavily researched this is.
Maybe they say that they think that Hawaii is already just so beautiful. You know what? They've got everything there.
Maybe. Maybe, I don't know, but here's the thing. I'm going to read you the outliers.
Okay, all right.
These kind of blew my mind. Okay, so Utah and Oklahoma, just flat out, this is your rolls.
Just rolls.
It's all says,
right.
It just says rolls. And then in Arkansas, it says white gravy.
So are they doing...
That's got to be regional.
It has to be.
It's got to be regional because rolls is also, by the way, rolls in there. Missouri is in there too.
So white gravy, are they doing like a chicken fried steak?
I don't even, maybe. Maybe that could be.
Because I
but as I, but as I look around, and especially and particularly in the Midwest, in Indiana, I don't know what's going on in Indiana, but apparently.
I always wonder anyway, but what's going on?
Yeah. Don't we all? Don't we all wonder what's on the minds of people in Indiana? The number one most popular Thanksgiving side dish, according to this this post from Graham Elliott, was deviled eggs.
Ooh, I like myself a deviled egg.
Do you?
But it's not number one on the list.
Well, it's number one in Indiana.
That's strange. That just seems like it would be potatoes.
Indiana? You think that they would just be Lincoln sidecar?
Yeah.
Listen, I'll even give them like
deviled
eggs.
There's
a broccoli casserole that comes out of Kentucky, a sweet potato casserole from Tennessee that's got something. They're in cahoots with Florida on that one. Green bean casserole in Ohio, green bean casserole in Michigan. Okay.
In Michigan. Hmm.
Yeah. New Hampshire just wants to be different.
And what do they have?
Well, they got cranberry sauce, which is fine. But then, you know, Maine has like side salad.
Maine has side salad?
You just said side salad.
Surprised they don't have something with lobster.
Like, well, and then, right. Like, I mean, there like a
lobster like a stuffing deal, or lobster. Right?
Like, well, anyway, last but not least, there's this on the East Coast. So the eastern seaboard of the United States. So all the way down from, all the way from Delaware to Maryland to Virginia.
I'm getting worried.
Continuing down through North Carolina and South Carolina.
Uh-oh.
All the way into Georgia. Like a pretty good chunk of the country. The number one most popular Thanksgiving side dish. Can you guess it?
No.
Mac and cheese.
Oh, mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese.
I couldn't guess it. I've never had mac and cheese for Thanksgiving.
I haven't, but now I'm intrigued. And I think with Cornucopia 2.0 next week, we may have to look some of these up.
You know what?
I might have to do a little bit more research on exactly how this list was compiled.
Yeah.
Because it seems very interesting to me that Indiana has deviled eggs.
Right.
It just seems like such an outlier.
It does.
Anyway, listen, thank you for spending your Sunday morning with us, everyone.
That's it?
Yep. If you want to know more about what we do, go to thedesigncoach.com. But I really appreciate you listening this morning. You've been listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Have a great day, everyone. You've been coached.